standpoint. So welcome to our show. And I just want to say, if you cannot reach us on this live station, you can also find us on NorthIdahoRadio.com. And that is where my husband is listening in Bayview, Idaho. Woo-hoo! And also, I want to say hi to my Uncle Dan. I didn't realize this, but my uncle lives in the Bay Area in California.
Yeah.
And every month he streams us live and listens to our show. Yeah. So hi, Uncle Dan.
How cool is that? I had no idea.
Well, and breathing some fresh air somewhere. It sounds horrible everywhere. Can you believe this smoke?
Oh, it's so bad. You can hear on my throat's a little froggy. It's really hard. Yeah. Oh. And it just killed me this weekend that I couldn't go out and paddleboard and play. And
I know. It was supposed to be 90 degrees.
I know. I know. I was wanting to play
a flannel shirt on. It was horrible. Oh. You know, we're out in Bayview and we're watching the fire.
So tell the story. What the heck happened?
Well, you know, we had that beautiful Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
And it was sunny and warm. And then Monday came with the winds.
Yes.
And so Sunday, it was interesting. Sunday night, Jeff and I were sitting on the porch. And we live across from where the fire started. And there were people camping on the beach. You know, and I'm always kind of do they have campfires? You know, so we got the binoculars out. Sure enough, there were lots of campfires going on the beach. And I said to him, I said, that's going to be a problem because we know this wind is coming and I'm really worried that they're not going to put that out or get, he's, you know, been there so long. He remembers, you know, the boat that got into that storm traffic with the high winds and the gals who shot the flare up and it ended up going on the hillside, which caused that fire in Bayview.
Oh.
So everyone's a little nervous out there.
God.
Sure enough, about 4:30 on Monday afternoon, our neighbor ran over to our house, knocking on our door, call 911. There's a fire across the way.
Yeah.
Because no one had power. We didn't have internet. So fortunately, Jeff's phone was the one phone that could work.
Yes.
So he called and reported it in. But we saw it, and it just started spreading right up the face of the mountain there. It was just, it was horrible. And so every day we were watching it spread, and it's such a steep terrain. It must be so difficult to fight.
I bet.
But it's just sad to see. We can't see anything now. Everything's socked in.
Right.
You can just hear, we heard the boat out there, the water boat, spraying water, but that's all.
Wow.
But it's just, you know, you're inside. It's horrible. It's like here. You know, Sandpoint's pretty bad too.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Now you were got a direct hit for the windstorm. How was that for you?
We did. It was really scary. We watched the wind come up and the waves are gigantic, right?
Yes.
I mean, huge. Cause they come in really intense.
Yeah.
And, we started seeing everything blowing off, right? So I'm chasing pillows down the lane and we're trying to, our chairs, big chairs,
well,
right?
Yes.
Are falling off and flowing away. And so we're trying to capture all that. And meanwhile, the boat dock breaks loose.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we had my son and his friend and my other son and his friend and my daughter's boyfriend. Everybody's there.
Right.
So they're able to rescue the swim dock and pull it up and, you know, it's super heavy.
Right.
And they got it on the lawn. And then we're really worried about the boat and the lift, but it was okay. What happened more for us than anything else was the erosion of the shoreline.
Yeah.
We lost about 2 feet.
Wow.
And so there's a big gap between our lawn and the dock. And our dock and boat lifts survived. But right next door, we watched there at the fish hatchery, the fish and game boat broke loose and it ended up in the rocks.
Wow.
And of course, afterward, we went around and saw, oh my gosh, the damage. People's docks were completely demolished.
Yeah.
There was a beautiful wooden boat that broke loose of its lift and smashed. And, you know, one of those classic 46 mahogany boats.
Oh my goodness.
Irreplaceable.
Yeah.
And it sunk. And there were other boats and jet skis sunk and lost. And It was wild, and we lost power for 30 hours.
Yeah, we lost power too. It wasn't as extreme at where we are living in Bayview, but we could see the water, the wind, and the water going towards Lakeview, and it was very scary. I'm such a nervous Nelly, and last year we had that huge windstorm that really did get us. And so this time, Jeff and I put everything away.
Good.
On Sunday night. Smart. And I know our new neighbors from outside the area had moved up, and I'm sure they thought, what are they doing? You know,
right.
But that next Monday they were out there chasing stuff down and getting it in place. You just can't mess with that wind.
And I don't know why we didn't do that, yeah. Right?
Because well, the Sunday was beautiful. Who wanted to do it?
It was hard to believe it. We were having fun outside.
Yeah, and so, now, yeah. And so here we are now with this smoke. And it's just another thing that we're adding to 2020. And we talked about, you know, our topics for this month and anxiety and depression. I can't believe the number of people who are feeling the effects of that now.
Well, it's so pervasive. And I have to say, I had a wonderful birthday celebration.
Oh, good.
And so to offset some of this bleak stuff, it was the first time I had seen some of my girlfriends in probably 7 months.
Yeah.
So they were willing to gather with me outside.
Nice.
We did a socially distanced
yeah.
Gathering. And that was wonderful. I had a really lovely birthday with my friends and my family, and that was so sweet. And Labor Day was great. I had yeah. all my kids. Yeah. My youngest came up, and so that was wonderful. And when we look at what's happening right now and the uncertainty, mm-hmm. As you and I said, we feel like we have this need to be up.
Right.
And it's hard right now.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm really aware of is my work is so much more difficult than it has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
In my practice, you know, I've been doing this for like 40 years. I've never worked this hard.
Yeah.
Because people are in so much distress, and a lot of it's virtual, and I come home absolutely exhausted.
I'm sure.
Just exhausted. And my mom is really failing and mm-hmm. near the end, and my daughter's moving to Boise, and
my goodness,
there are all these things that are going on. And when we've got the uncertainty with COVID, and we've got the uncertainty with the political situation and the riots, and then we've got the fires, and there's this compilation of traumas,
right,
that are almost impossible to process entirely, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So you've got this undercurrent of trauma and or anxiety that's happening on a daily basis, and we're struggling with it along with everyone else.
Exactly. And do you think that is a reason? Because on today's show, we're going to be talking about how it's really impacting the younger generation.
Yes.
You know, this is new for them.
Right.
All of this, you know.
Yes.
We're older. I mean, I've talked to some friends, and I've been through a whole lot in my lifetime. And so for me, it's a struggle, and there are times when I'm down and I'll feel anxious, but you know, I feel like I've faced tougher situations
yes.
in my life. And so I'm able to go, okay, but this is really good that's happening. Or I'm meeting these people. Like I'm really appreciate my new online clients in New York, and I'm getting to know new, you know, what it's like over there. And so there is growth for me.
Yes.
And so I focus on that instead of just sitting where I could quite easily in what's going on. But I think younger people, I look at my kids, you know, and it is a bigger struggle.
I think it is a bigger struggle. And to some extent, you know, we went through, at least my generation, we went through the 60s and 70s, and we know political unrest, and we've had some things like that in our history. And we have had traumas in our mm-hmm. life. But I know my children haven't experienced traumas.
Right.
They just haven't. Their lives have been much easier in many mm-hmm. ways. And so when you take these young people whose lives have been pretty insulated, mm-hmm. I think, for the most part, and you put them in this unprecedented situation where we have no control over so many aspects of our lives.
Right.
That lack of control or predictability is, I think, very, very difficult for those kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So there have been good things, and I really try. Yeah. That's what
yes.
I
Let's
say
hear some positive.
Let's focus on what's right.
Yes.
But we also have to simultaneously not ignore or deny mm-hmm. What's going on. And it's interesting. I had a very kind of startling experience. So normally I'm pretty positive and upbeat about things, but life has been very difficult, especially with what's going on with my mom. And you know, I'm feeling more vulnerable than I think I have in a long, long time. And I, on two separate occasions, talked about my vulnerability with girlfriends, and they didn't know how to respond. It was so interesting.
That is.
Because they're very accustomed to me being the strong one and, you know, me being vulnerable. I think they wanted to jump in there and fix it and say, well, it'll be okay, and do that toxic positivity, which totally triggers me because that's my mom. Oh, I love my mom, but my mom did not know how to manage the expression of negative emotions. And it was interesting to me that that's how much our culture is attached to don't sit with or stay with anxious or uncomfortable or painful emotions. We're just not very well equipped in our culture to, when somebody is suffering and struggling, how do we let them stay with that and not do minimizing statements like, you know, it'll be okay, or, you know, here's the positive in this. Like when I said my daughter's leaving, I'm grieving.
I'm sure you are.
I'm grieving, you know.
I'm grieving for you right now. I just found this out. And
it's like she's my best friend and she's leaving me.
I'm sorry.
And my mom's leaving me, right? So there's this double-edged sword where I'm losing my mom and my daughter, not in the same way, obviously, but simultaneously, and it feels
loss.
Like, oh my gosh, such a loss. And Ben will probably be moving out in conjunction with that. So there are all these losses. And I was talking about that. And the comment was something like, well, you know, they need to launch. They just need to do their... And I said, it's like, I know that.
Yes.
That's the head talking.
But that's not my point.
No.
My heart hurts.
I can say all of that cognitively, but I just want... And this is what people do in our culture. And I deal with this with couples all the time, right? When a woman expresses her loss, the husband's thing is, well... You know, let's fix it. Let's problem solve. Let's, you know, give advice, all that sort of, and all that is really not what we want. When we're struggling, when we're grieving, we just want somebody to be empathetic. We want them to hear our sadness, to acknowledge it, to say, gosh, that must be really hard. And like you did just beautifully just then, right? I'm grieving for you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jennifer. That was perfect. Good response.
I learned from the best.
But yes, that's what we need. And it's been interesting because as I've been struggling, my husband sometimes will jump to that and I'll say, honey, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but here's what I need.
Yeah.
I need you to empathize with me. Or if it's hard for you to do that, just give me a hug. That's good enough.
Hugs are the best.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
So thinking about that, yes, we're under a lot of stress right now, and we have to acknowledge it. We can't deny it.
And it must be really hard right now for you with COVID, even though there are so many mixed, for me right now, all these mixed messages of what's acceptable, what is not. Like, I'm sorry, but, you know, we're worried about going, having your birthday party with your friends. But we're going to have a huge soccer tournament in town, and
oh,
that's
please.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, I love sports. I'm not...
We
but
know
I'm,
we do.
I'm just talking about the inconsistencies. That is a challenge for my brain.
Yes.
And for my heart. I mean, it's... And when you're going through stresses, you know, the losses that you're going through, that human touch and all of that is so important.
True.
And it must be very difficult.
You know, it's interesting how frequently one of my clients will say, I just wish I could give you a hug, right? I mean, that there's this awareness, that there's this emotional vulnerability and intensity that we share, but we can't. And with my girlfriends as well, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, I think we are all hungry for contact.
Yeah, and at what point do we just go there? You
well,
know, I mean, I
yes.
saw one of my favorite people in the world walked into the gym last week. He used to work with me at the gym, and he coached me with triathlons. I'd cheer him on at Ironman. I love him. He walked in. I was thrown. I'm like, can I hug you? And he's like, you can hug me. I mean, it's just like, at some point, I'm going to have that because
Well, we take calculated risks. Yeah. And that's something that I'm really trying to, I think, look at for myself and also talk to my clients is, you know, I can't as a person not have contact with certain people.
Right.
I have to. And so looking at, have you been taking care of yourself? Are you wearing a mask in public? And of course, we've had this bubble where we can be outside,
exactly,
which is pretty darn safe most of the time, as long as we're outside and we have distance. And the other thing that I have done is when I really want to have contact with somebody, I say, well, let's mask up and we'll hug.
Yeah.
You know, that's another option that you have. And if you do it relatively quickly, the client I was just with is sending me information about an air purifier.
Oh,
right. Because
nice.
I was worried about my practice and, you know, creating a safe environment when the windows close. And so I think, again, it's a matter of our life is so out of control. What do we do that allows us to get some of our needs met, like the hugs?
Right.
So can we mask up and do that? Can we meet with our friends outside? If we have to come back inside, maybe we can get air purifiers. We have to find ways.
It's going to reach a point where, like for me, I don't want to lose who I am.
Yes.
And that's an emotion that I'll feel. And I am someone who, I'm not an overly affectionate person, but I am a toucher.
Yeah.
Like I will reach out and I touch my clients. I am always, it's very important and it's how I communicate.
Yeah.
And I can feel myself getting really irritated.
Yeah.
Because I have to question that each time. And
right.
So I know there's going to be a point for me. I'm weighing it already when I'm watching the sporting events going on. Okay, what's different than blocking at the net than me reaching out to my client?
Yeah.
At least we're in the same bubble.
Right, right. Yeah. And the soccer tournament, you know, like Sturgis, one of my clients went to Sturgis and the fallout from that. You know, when people are in large social gatherings, and especially when they're inside, there was a main wedding, I guess, where it really spread. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. But you can't help but worry about the kids,
right?
At like a soccer tournament. And fortunately, it got canceled because of the smoke.
Yes.
So I think that that's a good thing. But yes, and I think kids are hungry to have normal experiences.
And how. Even in, I have teachers that I work with, and their hearts are breaking for their students because being part of early education, how they were explaining it, is the interaction with each other.
Yes.
And now, yes, we're in a classroom, but there's plexiglass, there are masks, there's all this. How is it going to affect our children?
I am really concerned about that.
I really
am. So anyway, coming back to our stats, let me just give you a little review. You know, as you and I have been talking, obviously we're going through a major trauma as a country. Everything, all of our routines are disrupted. We've got COVID, we've got fires, we've got Black Lives Matter and protests, and everything is. So we have this increased level of anxiety, and there can be a certain hopelessness about the uncertain future. So it's really ironic when it was so horrible this weekend. I'm trying to figure out what the heck am I going to do, because what I do is I go out and play outside on the weekend.
You're talking to me, sister.
What the heck do we do? So what do I do?
Yeah.
First of all, I bake.
Yeah. You did that.
I bake. And the other thing is I said, okay, I'm planning a trip to Mexico. Yeah. So I did. I spent a lot of time yesterday going through and trying to figure that out. And, you know, I have to have something to look forward to.
Yes.
And so I know that I may not be able to go.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I can't just live with travel indefinitely on hold.
Right.
So that's one of the ways that I coped, right, was by planning that. But we do have that. And if we don't do that, we are depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that depression has more than tripled during this pandemic, right? So new study is showing that. You know, we're disconnected, we're anxious, we're worried about our family members, people are worried about their jobs and finances, their children going back to school is one of the issues a lot of my couples have been struggling with. What I find interesting is that the percentage of people who reported depressive symptoms jumped from 9% to 28%.
Wow.
Right? It's worse for the 18 to 29-year-olds. 24% of them indicated serious psychological distress. So across the board, anxiety and depression are up sharply. 11% of all respondents said that they had seriously considered suicide.
Wow.
In the past 30. That's like 1 out of 10, right?
That's really scary.
And then for those 18 to 24, the number was 1 in 4.
Oh my gosh.
That's really
scary. Very scary.
Really scary. And some of that is that you know, they're cut off from their peers, and that's so important for young people.
It's huge.
Is their peer interaction. Mm-hmm. That's how they grow and develop. Their futures are uncertain. They don't know if they can go back to school, jobs, and a lot of them are having to spend time at home, which is not always.
It's not always great.
Right. It's not always great. It can be really bad. Yeah. So we have this constantly changing and never-ending timeline that we're trying to deal with. So because of the lack of certainty about so many things, this stress really exacerbates any underlying mental health concerns. So anybody who had problems with anxiety before, it's vastly worse. Or depression before, right? All of that. And most of us, I would say, are suffering from some symptoms of anxiety or depression.
Yeah.
So I think...
It's really... I think people who... Well, I'll just speak for myself.
Please.
So someone who's... has struggled with depression and anxiety, I have learned strategies to help me through these things.
Yes.
So the impact isn't as great, but I can really relate to the people who are going through this and don't have, you know, they seem so stuck. And I struggle because I'm not a therapist. So I'm seeing them in my life and in my gym, and I don't want to cross that line because that is not my job. And I can only refer, but it's so sad, and they are so stuck.
Well, and it's, I think, difficult. There were a couple of women in my Zumba class the other day, and they said, you know, and I was saying, yeah, it's really depressing right now. And they said, really, you too? And I said, oh yeah. And they said, well, I'm usually such an upbeat, they said this about themselves, I'm usually such an upbeat, happy, positive person, and it's really weird. I'm feeling depression. And I
There's
said, well,
a flatness, right?
A flatness.
Yeah.
And so I tried to say, well, that's super normal and appropriate right now. But like, they don't necessarily have the coping strategies because they haven't had to.
Right.
Right? That hasn't been their norm. So yes, I think that is an interesting dynamic for people who haven't necessarily had to deal with it. And suddenly they're feeling these things.
They're
what do they do?
It, and it seems like I can see we're just hit with something new each day.
Oh, yeah. It's true. It was the storm on Monday.
Yeah.
And then it was less than a week later, it's the smoke.
Exactly.
And, I mean, it does feel like there's just one trauma after mm-hmm. another. And it takes a toll on us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for sure true. And statistically, we're doing that. So I think the more that we're able to, as we're doing right now, normalizing those experiences of disequilibrium and knowing that we're having a harder time sleeping at night and we may be eating or drinking more than
right.
we should
mm-hmm.
and all those things, that knowing that that's okay to talk about.
Talk about it and don't beat yourself up about it.
Yeah.
Recognize it.
Yes.
And then... Reach out.
And it's hard for me to do that. I know. I tend to, you know, feel like I can handle everything. But
right.
I know that right now I'm under such distress with so many things going on that I have to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I also have to know that the person who's listening to me is going to be there for me emotionally and not try to fix it or change it or any of those kinds of things. So we really have to watch out for toxic positivity when people
right.
are expressing their stuff.
You have to learn the art of listening.
Yes. And empathizing,
yes.
right? That's
yes.
really, really important that we do that. So talk to people, judgment-free and solution-free. I like that. You know, just letting people... process what it is they're feeling without trying to fix it or make it better.
What are some good words you could use or one could use when you are listening to someone who is struggling, you know, and because I don't know how you feel, you know, I know how you feel is not one. So what are some things?
Well, what you can do is, yeah, just those sorts of,
okay.
Those things, yeah. And then to say that must be really hard.
Yeah.
Right? Or, I understand that must be really painful for you. Those kinds of things, showing that you want to show, first of all, that you've heard what they've said, you know, mm-hmm. and also that their feelings are okay and that you are there with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even to say, you know, what can I do to be supportive?
Yeah. That's a good one.
What can I do to be supportive? Mm-hmm. And I might say, just listen.
And yeah. And I think it's important that the other person be okay with that.
Yes. Yes.
You know, yeah. I have a really good friend who's, her husband is, has cancer and, the treatments aren't going great. And so she's going through a lot of this and it's so important. It's just, it must be, you know, you add what he's going through and then you add all the COVID rules and
yes.
I can't even relate to what a level of stress she must be under.
Yeah.
And so it's important to, you know, I'm glad you're sharing this. I want to be able to be there, but not overstep and also not, I can't fix it.
Yeah.
But she's scared.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing you can do is to say, I'm really sorry you're suffering, or mm-hmm. I'm sad that this is so painful for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So acknowledging that, mm-hmm. or it makes sense to me that this could be causing you a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. So those sorts of acknowledgments. Mm-hmm. And as you're right, you know, we don't want to shift it immediately to, well, I had that same experience, because that can take it away from the other person.
Right.
But you can say, you know, I empathize with that, or, mm-hmm. you know, I get what that's like, mm-hmm. because usually we do have some understanding of an emotion, even if it's the situation is not analogous,
yeah.
but we know what it's like to feel sad, or we
sure.
know what it's like to feel stressed. So, acknowledging that, I mm-hmm. think is an important thing when we listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what you're doing right now, that,
I've got that one down.
That's a good one. That works really, really well. Really, really well. So maybe what we can move into next is how to tell if you've had a panic attack.
Oh, and I'm telling you, if you have, it's the worst thing. I've had a few when I was in college, and I couldn't even see straight. I mean, it was just came on. It was horrible. And so I'm interested, and I want to help people through this, because this is a tough one.
It is. And from what people, I haven't had acute panic. I just have more low-grade anxiety. Mm-hmm. But people describe it as being really terrifying.
It
you
is.
You think you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So knowing that, and there's been a huge spike in panic attacks.
I bet.
Yeah. Huge spike in them. And I've had people coming into my practice talking about, you know, their panic. And so how you know, first of all, there's the feeling of terror from nowhere, right? There's, mm-hmm. it's inexplicable there. And there oftentimes isn't a source or a trigger that you can identify. There's mm-hmm. just this feeling of panic and terror. You're scared for no real reason that you can identify. And there's this overwhelming sense of dread that something awful is going to happen. You're afraid that you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
So secondly, there's a physical sensation. You can't catch your breath. You might have chest pains, your vision can shut down, you can sweat, an urge to run away. Anything else you want to add to that?
Feeling like you're just going to vomit.
Going to vomit.
Shaking. It was long ago, so I'm trying to remember. But it was horrible, and I knew I just couldn't sit there any longer. I needed to move. And movement helped me.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Because from what people have described to me, it sounds like it's you can't breathe.
Right.
And it's almost like you want to jump out of your skin
because yes.
it's so uncomfortable being
yeah.
in your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that really strong physical sensation. And the third is this really strong fear of what ifs,
mm-hmm.
right? What if I'm about to die? What if I'm going to collapse? What if somebody knows,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That they see that I'm having a panic attack. What if I'm about to have a heart attack? So lots of those specific fears about what does this mean? What's going to happen? So panic attacks usually last between 5 and 20 minutes, but it can last up to an hour,
wow.
which seems horrible to
yeah.
me. And if you're experiencing that, it does help to identify the things that are currently causing stress so that you can try to alleviate some of them. And if you're having repeated attacks, talk therapy as well as medication are the main treatments. So I had one woman who came in to see me for panic attacks, and she was really the person who taught me the most about it. She was great. Yeah. And what we did is we systematically went through and looked at what might be feeling really out of control for her. Mm. And the biggest trigger was her youngest was going to kindergarten.
Oh,
right. She was somebody who really identified with being a mother. And when her last was going off, that threw her into a tailspin, mm-hmm. and the panic started coming up. But then it filtered out into all kinds of things that really made it hard for her to go anywhere or do anything. Mm. So we had to kind of walk her through that process and learn how to be able to push herself to do things that were scary and teach herself that she could survive that.
All right. Well, let's take a break.
Okay.
Woo! That was a marathon.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll continue this discussion on depression, anxiety, and how to get through it.
Here in Ponderay County, exploring the wildlife is second nature, like fishing, camping, and Kalispell Casino cash giveaways. Get your chance at a share of $6,000 cash with nightly drawings through September 30th, the Daily Harvest Giveaway, only at Kalispell Casino. Now that's experiencing the wildlife.
Uwako Ilsinu Wako. Go wild in the wild.
Kalispell Casino in beautiful Cusick, Washington.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your driver's and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-281-0266. 800-281-0266. 800-281-0266. That's 800-281-0266.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back to Functional Health Radio, a monthly health and wellness radio show. I'm Jen Barden from The Shed. The Shed's a small group personal training gym in Sandpoint. And I'm joined by my co-host, Jill Kahn. And Jill is a licensed marriage and family therapist in Sandpoint. We've been talking about this incredible increase in depression and anxiety in 2020. And, you know, some signs of anxiety. We'll finish up with that, and then we're going to move on to how it's impacting not only college students more, but even younger.
Everyone.
Yeah.
I think. So just kind of finishing up with panic. If you're starting to experience some symptoms of panic, it's a really good idea to, first of all, breathe through it. That's the best response that you can do to slow your breath down and also say to yourself, this will pass, right? Yeah. You're not going to die and it will pass if you can just slow down your breathing and get through it.
And recognize it
for
what it is. And you taught me this. So
in
maybe not in a full panic attack, I wasn't able to practice this, but after finding out about it in anxiety, if I start to feel that come on, like at the grocery store or whatever, to go, oh, I know what you are.
Yes.
And you can go away.
Yes. And you can go away. And I'm going to breathe till you do go
exactly.
away. So, but if you need help, do seek assistance through a therapist or
it helps so much. Yes.
Yeah. So moving on to the next topic. This is entitled College Mental Health Struggles, but I really felt like this was applicable to most of us, right?
Yes.
Most of us are having similar ones, but it's exacerbated, I think, with this college population. I know with my son, he's dealing with a lot of these issues, but I think talking about it is relevant for all of us. So the first thing is struggling with uncertainty. All of us have. We've never experienced some of this before. That uncertainty breeds anxiety. So the second one is you're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've noticed I've never slept this much in my life, right? We all are needing more sleep because we're exhausted physically and mentally. And anxiety does exhaust us.
Yes.
So we need to really pay attention to that and giving ourselves an opportunity. And if we're not sleeping well, we need to do things to mitigate that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So no screens right before we go to bed. I try to read a book before bed. Just making sure that, you know, our alcohol use, drinking enough water. So we
a little exercise.
Exercise.
Even if it's 10 minutes a day for a walk will help decrease anxiety.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's what I miss when I can't go outside.
Yeah.
So the next one is you're grieving your loss of identity. And that's true, I think, for a lot of people. But college students, I think, have a sense of identity with what their major is and that they're college students. And if they're doing online,
it must be so, so strange and just difficult.
Yes. So that can be a challenge with it. You know, you don't have groups to socialize with. So there's grief about losing all of that you used to have. And you're also anxious about how all of this is going to affect your future. You know, are you going to be able to get an internship? Are you going to be able to go to graduate school? Will you be able to find a job after you work? Those are all big stressors. And concerned about money, right? This is taking a toll on all of us. And people who work jobs may not be able to do some of those jobs right now. And there's also, for some people, guilt about using money to pay for college when families are really struggling financially.
Right.
Yeah. So it's complicated. With my own son, I know that... He's really struggling more financially, and you feel a bit resentful that you're having to pay full tuition.
Yeah, I don't understand why that's
decreased
occurring.
Services.
It does not seem right.
No, that doesn't seem right. We both agree about that. We all do. Yeah, and you know they're worried about their own health, right?
Yeah.
So there's that worry about contracting the virus, or especially if you are going back to campus where you're going to be engaged with more people and activities, that's risky.
Right. Oh, and then probably bringing it home.
Bringing it home. That's been a big one for Adam. It's like I am worried about going to see my family members. Here's one for all of us. You're frustrated by all the rules and limitation.
That's where I am.
So anger is also a common emotion right now, whether you're upset that you can't do the things that you normally do or you're stuck at your parents' house. I think people are also really frustrated with their partners, which we'll talk about in a minute, about not having the same,
views.
Being on the same page about what we're doing.
Right.
So feelings of frustration, anger, and sadness are completely normal right now because we're not able to have a life that we're accustomed to or expected.
So helping these kids, how same conversation as what we talked about earlier, it's listening.
Yeah, I think it is really important to let them process what they're going through and not to give them the permission to be able to be sad or grieve and not make them feel like they shouldn't. So they need to be able to do that. And I think the other thing that they're looking at is things like being concerned about their eating and drinking habits. They're not concentrating as well as they used to. Mm. So being able to identify that and say, well, what can I do to take better care of myself? The other thing, and this is something my son is talking about, he's lonely.
Sure.
Because he doesn't get time with his friends the way he used to. And the one benefit we were talking about is that people who are doing online dating, mm-hmm. it slows things down.
Yes.
And there's a certain safety in taking a little bit slower when online dating. But I think for all of us, we have to acknowledge that our mental health is being affected and that we are not in denial about that. We're not trying to cover it up with eating or drinking too much or doing any other addictive behavior.
Yeah. And also, isn't it... this is the way I would view it if my kids were going to college right now. If they decided to put it on pause because it was just too confusing and I don't even know what's happening, and to be supportive of these
absolutely change,
because it's almost like for some kids, they're just trying to force this through, and that's not the experience or maybe the best situation for them, and to have a little understanding and give support.
Yes. And I think we have said that to Adam too. Yeah. It's like, you know, feel free to take a pause. And he said, well, I just want to be done with it. I'm close now.
Totally understand.
I
want to
just finish it. But both, either one, it's right. just as long as it's a choice that they're comfortable
yeah.
with. Yeah. So for our last few minutes, I do want to
yes,
address
let's
arguments
do this.
That couples
Jeff,
are,
be listening.
Are having right now. So I hear this a lot. We don't hear see eye to eye on how to handle our finances. So a common discussion mm-hmm. I've heard is that I think men, as a sort of a generality, want to buy toys to kind of get them through this. You know, they want new tractors or new boats or jet skis or whatever. And women are saying,
spending money.
So how they spend money is different,
yeah.
right? That's one of the discussions that's coming up right now. And I keep encouraging compromises for both. They can't agree on which risks are okay to take. This is huge.
It is.
Huge.
Yeah.
And it's very, very difficult. And again, I try to find compromises with them because I have one couple where absolutely she will not do anything and always mask and she's super vigilant about it. And he just wants to live his life normally and not wear a mask and do whatever he wants to do and be social. And it's difficult because...
And so, yeah, what do you recommend? Because, like, so Jeff and I are... I mean, I'll wear my mask when I go out to the store or wherever. And he wasn't initially, but showing he started looking at me going, well, she's doing this, and to show respect.
Yes.
I didn't even have to say anything, but started wearing his... He hates it. I get it. I don't like it either, but that was a really kind thing to do. And
yes.
So
one of the things that I did in my family similarly is I shopped around and I found really user-friendly masks, ones where you can breathe. I even have one now for the gym.
Oh, nice.
That's made by Onzi for workout. Mm-hmm. And so it's really easy to breathe.
Sure.
So that's nice to have. And I got ones that are really easy and comfortable for my guys. They're more... And they're fun, right? So they're more willing to wear them. But you're right.
But how would you, like, if your spouse wasn't showing being respectful and you made you feel bad, maybe?
Well, and that's one of the things I'm addressing, is that you're doing this because you care about your partner and keeping them safe and also responding to their emotional state, mm-hmm. right? You do this for your partner, for their safety physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to try to say, okay, well, maybe what you could do is if your partner likes to go out and socialize, they're more social than you are, then, you know, invite people to your home and do it outside
right.
where it's safer. So we're constantly trying to find compromises on that one. Yeah.
Next
one. We have no alone time and we're going nuts.
Yeah, because kids are home.
Oh, kids are home. Yeah. So we're having a lot of conversations about how can they sneak some alone time,
yeah.
right? Taking the dogs for a walk.
Right.
Boat picnics,
yes.
whatever they can do. And it is really hard, especially for couples who don't necessarily want to bring a sitter into the house because
it must be very difficult with younger kids.
It's really, yeah. really difficult. So I'm trying to help them navigate that. And how do we try to capture some time after the kids have gone to bed mm-hmm. is a good time. So yes, trying to figure that out is important.
And it doesn't have to be a long time. It could be,
yes. I remember,
like 15 minutes of a cup
yes.
of coffee out on the porch together.
Yes.
I mean, that
yes.
we try to have those moments of connection. At the end of the day, it's easier because I go to work so early.
Yeah.
But yeah, sit on the dock and have a drink and just talk about your day, what's going on, you know, watching the fire.
But so the other thing I was just talking to a couple about the other day was this is one of those times when it's appropriate to put on a Disney movie or some educational TV show, but the stress reducing conversation at the end of the day.
Yes.
Where when one of you or both of you come home from work, you take that 10 or 15 minutes to download your day
mm-hmm.
and being in touch with each other and how important that is
yeah.
to stay in touch, because some of these couples aren't feeling like they're getting any chance to kind of even know what the other person is feeling.
Well, and if you're dealing with a little depression or anxiety, it's hard to emotionally connect.
Yes.
Because you're feeling flat. And
yes.
You're feeling but those are things that I know if you can make yourself do them, the more you do it, then you can kind of get lighter and connect and be emotionally available.
Yes.
And it's...
So creating... little rituals of connection, yes, during the day where you get a few minutes alone to really share what you're feeling. And sometimes I give them questions too that will help elicit some of that information. What made you mad, sad, glad, mm-hmm, feel bad today, right? Yeah. Easy one to do, sure, with each other. We can't agree whether our kids should return to school or do virtual. That's been one, mm-hmm, that I've had couples talk about. And again, you know, trying to have a conversation about and how much the kids should be socializing at all and with whom. And this is a big one, not feeling supported by my partner, mm, right? We all handle stress differently. One may internalize while the other one's more expressive. And that's something that we really need to do, is to not blame the other person, but to really acknowledge, what do I need in terms of my emotional state? What do you need? And how can we be there for each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those are some big ones. I'm going to add politics to this list, because this would be our main argument. And it's been interesting maneuvering through it. I feel like we're getting better.
Good.
Recognizing flooding.
Yes.
And walking away and coming back and then trying. But not, it's so both out of our control that, you know, what can we do? But anyway, that would be mine. Politics, try to get along.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're out of time. It's been great to see you. Hang in there. And I'll talk to you in a month.
1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry. 1400 KSPT Sandpoint. A Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.
Not climate change, which state officials say has made it hotter and drier for years now.
When you have years of leaves, dried leaves on the ground.